1-800-449-8686. And now, Phil Henry.
It's time now for Phil Henry's Christmas wish list. What do I want for Christmas? Yeah, that's right. What do I want for Christmas? These are some of the things that I would like for Christmas. These are some things that, you know, I'm gonna be very honest with you right now. I really want this stuff for Christmas. Do I think I'll get it? Of course I don't. Is it one of those, well, if it was a perfect world and I could get anything I wanted, kind of, yes, maybe something like that. But I desperately, desperately would love to have all the stuff that I am now going to tell you about on this list. And if there is anybody listening in a position to make any of this happen for me, I'll pay you. I can't pay you. I'll pay you $1,000. I'll pay you $1,000 if you can make any of these things on this list happen. Jesus, I better make sure that nobody can actually do any of this stuff. I mean, $1,000 is $1,000. Look at this. See, Craig thinks I want Bin Laden's penis in a jar. That's the kind of crude, vulgar jackass you are. I know. Carolette, you want to know what I want for Christmas right off the bat? I want to own an NFL franchise. Specifically, I want to get the San Diego Chargers. I want them for Christmas. Now, No. I don't want them to move to L.A. No. I could care less whether L.A. gets a football team. I want to own my football team, and then I get to go wherever they play. In this case, I want the San Diego Chargers to be my team. I want to build a ballpark for them in North County so that Orange County and L.A., we could all kind of meet in the middle. Then I want them to go back to their old uniforms, the yellow pants, the powder blue shirts, the yellow lightning bolts on the helmets, and the numbers. The coolest aspect of the old Charger uniforms, they had like Hadel's number, that number 24 sitting there. No, why did they take that? Why did they move that? Oh, because that doesn't look cool enough anymore. It has to be like blue and yellow. Their uniforms suck. And frankly, playing where they play, that Qualcomm, whatever the hell that is, that blows. And they used to play in L.A. I want that team. By the way, I also want to build a stadium in which luxury boxes are eliminated. This is what I want for Christmas. No more luxury boxes. Instead, I got a new concept. Luxury open-air patios. Now, this is what I want. You may not want it, but this ain't your list, right? Get those luxury boxes out of there, because the only people that stand in luxury boxes at ballparks, I've been in there, are people that don't care about football, don't want to watch the game, are wealthy, they got a cocktail sausage wedged, and get out of here, you bug me. So if you have an open-air patio with umbrellas, tequila, and barbecues, so every single open-air luxury patio around the box area of the stadium would have its own barbecue, its own patio, umbrellas and crap, and then you get to smoke cigars, you get to drink shots of tequila, you can be in your shorts, and if it rains, well, isn't that too bad? I guess it rains. I'd pay top dollar for that, but I don't have to pay top dollar for that, because this is what I want for Christmas. The other thing that I would do at my ballpark after I own the Chargers, I would have in all the luxury patio areas, I would have Nerf guns with Nerf balls, so that the wealthy, or those of us who sat in the luxury boxes, if we saw some guy that bugged us, we just start firing Nerf balls. Now, they're soft enough that I got to hurt anybody, but you just, you're firing away on some cat that's bugging you. Well, he can't throw it back, because have you ever tried to throw a Nerf ball? It's just sponge. It just goes down. But if you fire that thing out of a gun, so he can throw it if he wants to, but he ain't going to hit me. But I get to hit him with a Nerf ball gun. Why? Because a lot of those drunks deserve it, and who better to dish out the punishment than some guy sitting in the luxury patio suite of Phil Henry's San Diego Charger ballpark that is now located in Mission Viejo. All right, here's the next thing that I want for Christmas, and you may think I'm kidding about this. I'm really not. For a long time, I've been thinking about this, and I want this. You remember that car that George Jetson flew that he flew around in his car, he'd fly to work? I want that. Now, I don't think it's too untoward of me to say we have been waiting some 40 years since the Jetsons first went on the air, and there's George Jetson flying his ass around in a flying car. When will we finally get them? Oh, is that too much for the technology of America? Is that the problem? It's been 40 years, man. If I'm a kid back then, right, and they say, there's George Jetson flying around in a car, do you think you want one? Yeah, and I figure by the time I'm 50, I'll get one. So I want that. The other thing that I want, and I would like this for Christmas, I want a 6,000 square foot with all the amenities treehouse. I want a 6,000 square foot treehouse up way high in a tree, at least 50 feet high, and it's got everything. It's got, you know, the Sub-Zero refrigerator with the dual ovens. It's got fireplaces, a billiard room. It has everything, you know, like big screen TVs, stereo equipment, but you need a rope ladder to get into it, okay? So in other words, and a bidet, everything. But you can't get into it unless you go up a rope ladder, 50 feet up a rope ladder. Now, yes, there's elevators and crap that would you would take your groceries up and down in. But the people, they got to go up a rope ladder, climb up a rope. The other thing that I want, and I know that a lot of you, and the other, yeah, by the way, my wife has to wear a Jane outfit from Tarzan. She wears that everywhere. Now, this is one that a lot of people have asked me about. They said, wouldn't you like to have this? I said, yeah, I was the first person that wanted this, though. Nobody else wanted this until I want to have my own bat cave. What you have in a bat cave, forget about all the crap that Batman had. I want to have an underground swimming grotto. So you go into the cave in your robe, and you take off the robe, you dive into the underground swimming grotto. It looks a little bit like where the penguin was raised in Batman Returns, but it's cooler because there isn't any creepy kid down there with fins for hands. So you're swimming, and then you get into a chair, and you pull a lever, and it will elevate you up to ground level where you can sunbathe. And then it goes down again, it shuts the hatch, and then you sit, swim in your grotto. The other thing that I would like for Christmas, I want to become the permanent mayor dictator of Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. I want to begin urban improvement. I dig that town a lot. I think it's got a lot of potential. And the first thing I do is I would forbid street musicians for asking for tips. So here's what would happen. They come up, they play a song, they smile, and then they leave. What a novel idea, right? I'd make it happen. They come up, play the song, tip their hat, and split. They don't stand there going, I don't know, $3, I can't divide that into five. Well, you're going to have to find a way. This music's driving me nuts. So by the way, I have a comment about that music, too, in a moment. Now, also for my birthday, or actually for Christmas, I would like to have, and this is the one, this, if I just get this, all the other ones can go rot. Here it is. You ready for this? This is the big one for Christmas. I want to have the 405 freeway demolished. And I want to do it using a live remote switch. So here's what would happen. I'm the guy that gets to push the button that begins a series of explosions that go all the way down the length of the 405 freeway from the Ventura all the way down to the Y. The 405 is exploded over a half-hour period. I would then get my friends into those presidential-style helicopters, serving cocktails and lunch, and fly them down the length of the freeway as I'm detonating it. What do you think? You want to drive? Craig wants to drive and outrun the explosions. Just a series of very cool-looking explosions, right? Also, for Christmas, I want to be able, and I want to say this gently, I want to be able to personally tell Whoopi Goldberg to just be in movies and otherwise just shut up and get off of Hollywood Squares now. Not tomorrow, now. Get out of that center square, you bug me. All right, 1-800-449-8686. More from my Christmas wish list coming up, and we'll have different music. When we come back on The Phil Henry Show. That music driving you nuts yet? It's not? Okay. Getting back to my wish, Christmas wish list. What did I leave off? Oh, yeah. For Christmas, I want to be able to personally tell Whoopi Goldberg to shut up. Oh, yeah. Look, I don't mind the woman. I think she's fine. Get her out of that center square, though. That's wrong. That's wrong. That was Paul Lynde's spot, baby. That's... Get her out of there. Also for Christmas... I would like to be able to drive over to the Pacific Palisades, walk up to his door, ring it, have him answer it, and then tell Anthony Hopkins to shut up and go back to Wales or Ireland or wherever it is he's from and quit with the movies that suck. Thank you. Go do Mousetrap or Cats in whatever big town in Wales there is and get out of here, will you, already? With you, with that Hearts of Atlantis and that pissed off look you got because, you know, you make too much money. Whatever your problem is, go have it over there. Also, for Christmas, I would like Steve Martin to now become the permanent host of the Academy Awards. Thank you. You want it. I want it. We all want it. He's the man. We're done, Billy. Thank you. Whoopi, you got that center square box. Steve Martin's the guy. This is the guy. Did it last year. It was funny. It moved. It wasn't drawn out. It wasn't bullcrap. He made fun of all those cats. He's part of that scene. That guy was the bomb. Am I wrong or am I right? If I'm wrong, tell me. The guys were a tag. It's funnier than hell. For Christmas, I want to be able to sit and drink with the following people. I want to be able to sit and drink with the following people at a Mediterranean Coast Plaza bar in Italy, say about starting at 1 in the afternoon while Italian women with great asses walk by. Albert Finney, Peter O'Toole, and if he were still alive, Oliver Reed, although Oliver Reed would start a fight, but that'd be cool to watch. Errol Flynn, and I can't think of anybody else, but there'd be a few other people, maybe Ernest Hemingway. We start at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon in some bar on the Mediterranean coast in Italy, shoot a little stick, throw some darts, go back out on the patio, have a few more belts, watch these chicks go by with the Italian asses, and then, you know, maybe Flynn or Reed start a fight, and you never have to say a word. All you got to do is just sit and listen to these cats talk and start fights. Now tell me that isn't the greatest. Tell me Jackie Gleason wasn't the greatest. Okay. Also for Christmas, I want my wife to get me Yosemite National Park for a year. I want it for myself. The only thing that I just want to be there. I'll live there alone for a year, spiritually centering myself, hiking, cutting wood, and cooking trout. I want that for a year. Me and only me in Yosemite. And not even any bears or elk. Get them out of there. I just want myself there. Me and fish. I want the bears, the elk, badgers, chipmunks, and raccoons shipped out. Then, after the year is up, they let them back in, but only through a gate approved by me, and I check passports. Also, for Christmas, I would actually like there to be a real Santa Claus. Now, I don't know how we can work that out, but I would like it so that the cat goes around to every house and leaves toys. Now, no, I know that reindeer can't fly. He could use a helicopter. Somehow, I want there to really be a Santa Claus. And, like, maybe he's interviewed once a year after Christmas. And, well, how was it this year, Santa? Well, you know, and he gives a lot of bull. And then he goes off to the North Pole and stays there, and nobody bugs him for a year. Then he comes back and does it again every year, and he's immortal, too. But he's not evil, meaning he was not going to hurt anybody. So I want him to be immortal, deliver a lot of toys, then go up to the North Pole and not bug us, and then come back and do it again and not be evil. All right? Thank you. For Christmas, I would like to see news anchors not talk to each other anymore on the air. Okay? Just do the news, and then the other guy will know when you're done, and then he'll start. No more, well, Bob, it looks like your penis got quite a scare there in your zipper the other night, huh? Right, you? None of that stuff. Just, and then the president shot him dead. In sports, and another guy starts, and he knows when to start. Also, no more stay with us phrases. Any, you know that stuff?
Stay with us.
No, I won't. No, I'm not going to stay with you. I'm changing the channel right now. And I'm not even going to stay with the news. I'm going to a cartoon. Just a thing that I got, man. Don't worry. And none of that, can you believe this story, Carol? A guy who's only 3 feet tall found himself in a woman's underwear. Bob Mitchell has the hilarious story. Eddie Brown's a little guy, and then they go into the kicker, you know? No more! No. For Christmas, I would like to hear, and I want you to, I got nothing against Barbara Walters, I just want to hear this. I want to hear Barbara Walters not knowing that her mic is live. So she's on the set of The View, okay, and she doesn't know that her mic is live, and it's going out on the network, to describe in detail to the other women on The View a bowel movement she had earlier that morning. I just want to hear that. Nothing against Barbara. It would just be awesome, wouldn't it? Tell me that wouldn't be the most awesome thing Well, it all started. I don't know how it would sound, but maybe it's maybe she's had bleeding. I don't know. You know. For Christmas, I want Mariah Carey to be okay. I want her to be healthy and keep singing because I happen to like Mariah Carey. Pardon me. For Christmas, I would like them to move New York to the West Coast so that I can live in New York while it's sunny and still go to the beach. You can take L.A. and you can park it anywhere you want, okay? But move New York here so it'll be sunny, we can kick in New York and hang, but still go to the beach and surf and whatever we want to do. So can you work that out? I'd really like that. Thank you. Here's the kicker, I guess. For Christmas, I'd like to find Osama bin Laden, but no, hold on. I want to find him, and then I just want to, for starters, slap him around for about an hour. I just want to tie him to a chair and slap him and lecture him on what a piece of crap he is. Then I would take pictures of him in, like, bowling shirts and baseball uniforms and dressed as Judy Garland. Then I would send all of those pictures off to Al Jazeera TV and sit back in the cave with a satellite dish and Osama, and we'd watch the show together eating pork rinds and drinking Jello shots. And there's no way he can say no. Another pork rind, Osama? No, please. Have another pork rind. No, please. I said to have one. How about another Jello shot? God damn, man. I mean, yeah, I like them, don't you, huh? Hey, here it comes, man. You'll be dressed as Judy Garland, and you'll be singing Over the Rainbow. Now you're going to ask me, how did I get him to sing Over the Rainbow? It's a very simple thing. I don't threaten to martyr him. I tell him that he's going to sing Over the Rainbow or have one digit at a time removed with a skinning knife, and then we end with his testicles. Now, I guarantee you, by the second finger, he'd be singing Over the Rainbow, the Honeymooners theme, anything I Love Lucy. He'd be playing Hi Bob with me using the Jello shots. Anything I want, he'd be doing. You don't have to rough the guy up too bad. You can get him to do anything you want. Your skinning knife and one digit at a time. And then while we're in the cave, I'm going, hey, here comes Al Jazeera TV. They're going to do the thing. No, please, I don't want to watch. You're going to have to watch it. Now watch it. Come on, more pork chops? Please, I'm Muslim. Oh, yeah, I forgot about it. Well, I'm sorry. You're going to have to eat it. Go ahead. No, it makes me sick. I eat it. Eat the pork rinds. You know, be very hospitable. Well, there it is. That's my Christmas wish list. What'd you think? You like that Osama bin Laden one at the end? I like that. Also, that San Diego Charger luxury suite deal. Get rid of those luxury suites, do the luxury patio, and you've got a great idea. The luxury patio. That's what you got to do. And then the other one that I forgot to mention that I want to be chosen the sexiest man alive by People magazine, and I don't want to have to lose any weight or grow any hair or anything to get it. They just say, and this year, Phil Henry's the sexiest man alive. Or whatever the hell they call it, sexiest man of the year. So I'm just a fat slob. Well, what would look cooler is that there I am, my face, sexiest man alive, and then they got Pierce Brosnan and Matt Damon and all those guys. They're going, these guys are good looking. What? How does this guy qualify? Well, it's just the way it is. So that's my Christmas wish list. Also, listening to Barbara Walters describe in detail a bowel movement she had, it's just a sick thing, but it would make television history. It would make television history. Many of you are too young to remember a woman by the name of Jessica Savage. You don't know the name, do you? Jessica Savage was a news anchor, very talented news anchor on NBC. And back in the day, when I say back in the day, I mean the early to mid-80s, they used to do the NBC News Digest at night. It would be a news break in between. Do they still do that? News breaks in between TV shows. And now an NBC news break. And she would do it often, and she was also an anchor, and she was a reporter. She did an NBC News Digest one night, and she was hammered. And I don't know, she was flying on some mixture of chemicals, like booze and pills, pills and booze and, you know, like Sterno and pills and booze, something. But I swear to God, if you watch it, and it's available someplace, I know, she's like, good evening, President Reagan tonight. They did a movie, you think I'm kidding, I'm not. If you find it on the web, you'll see what I'm saying. Got to be around there somewhere. Got to be around there somewhere, swear to God. Okay, it's the Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
This is Joe Dickhead.
And I'm the professor.
And this is Joe Dickhead's NFL Picks.
Yes, for yet another week. Week number 9, or 13, or is it? Is that a 13 or a...
Number 12.
Week 10, 6.
Week 13.
For week 13. Oh, man, those hemorrhoids are... Anyway, for week 13, the National Football League picks. Once again, we will present NFL Theater. We will present our picks in three different modalities. As a Western, as a poignant Lassie episode, and as a porno movie.
In other words, we'll do it just the way we did it last week.
Only better.
Yes, this is Joe Dickhead, and this is the NFL Picks for Week 13!
This is the professor out here in the Wild West. Say, partner, what you think about getting into town and getting some whiskey, a bed, maybe bedding some prostitute, dropping a few bucks on whiskey and gambling and, oh yeah, betting the NFL.
Why, that sounds like a pretty good idea, partner. Think I'll just saddle up on the horse here.
Well, you always have walked bow-legged, haven't you?
Don't comment on that, okay? That's none of your business. That's between me and the herd.
All right.
Yeah, I think I'll just go on into town and call Joe Dickhead's hotline and find out who he likes in the...
Carolina and Buffalo.
Game. And now we'll do it as a poignant Lassie episode.
Gee, Pa, I wonder what happened to Timmy.
I hope people know where I am, Lassie. My leg is caught under this burning log. Lassie, go get help. If I don't get out from underneath this burning log, I won't be able to bet on my favorite NFL picks with my bookie. Go, Lassie, go.
My Lassie, what are you doing here? Where's Joe Dickhead? He's caught under a burning log? Well, hell, what are you doing here then? Oh, you want to lay some cabbage on the Detroit-Tampa Bay game? Well, who does he like? He wants Tampa Bay, but you think he's a dumbass? All right, I'll go ahead and lay the money on Tampa Bay, and I'll give you Detroit. What do you want for the points? All right, I'll give you the points. Meanwhile, back with Joe Dickhead.
I'm burning up!
Poor Joe Dickhead. Never did get out from under that log. And now, as a porno movie. Well, yeah.
Who do you like in the San Diego-Philadelphia game? Oh, yeah, come on, give it to me. Give me San Diego.
Yeah, oh, you want San Diego, huh?
Yeah, come on. Give me San Diego.
You want it? Go ahead, take San Diego. Come on, take it. Take it.
No, I want Philadelphia.
All right. I'm sweating a little bit here, you know.
All right, time out. Somebody get some powder on the actors, okay? All right, Fluffer's in. And action. Oh, yeah, please. Let me take Chicago at Green Bay.
Oh, you got it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Chicago. Oh, yeah. Oh, whoa. Wow. That hurt.
All right. Cut. Jesus. Yes, that's been Joe Dickhead's NFL Picks, presented as a Western, as a Lassie episode, and as a porno movie!
Tune in next week when we butcher more NFL Picks. And if any of you have actually made money on our picks, we'd like to hear from you. If you've made money on Joe Dickhead's NFL Picks, please drop us a line at The Phil Hendry Show. I can't imagine.
Joe Dickhead! Mystery Show.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
You may know this about me if you've read my website. As a matter of fact, if you visited my website, there's a bio there. And I mentioned that one of the influences on me in my life as a performer, not that I'm anywhere in his league, was Jackie Gleason. And there's a movie coming out based on his life. Now, if you don't know who I'm talking about, you got to check out Honeymooner reruns. Jackie Gleason's the fat guy, and he played a character named Ralph Cramden, who was a bus driver and lived in this apartment, a very lower middle class existence in Bensonhurst, the Bensonhurst section of Brooklyn, New York. He lived there with his wife, Alice, and his upstairs neighbor was Ed Norton and his wife, Trixie. Ed worked in the sewer system of New York. And together, the two couples would get into all these hijinks. Jackie Gleason's character, Ralph Cramden, was particularly funny because he had this thing. Back in the 50s, when it was okay to threaten a woman with violence, he had a very funny line. He'd say, "Alice, I'm going to send you to the moon," with his fist cocked. And people would say, "Well, you know, that would never go today." Well, this was based upon his upbringing. He was raised in a poor family, a poor Irish family in Brooklyn, when guys used to cock their fists back and threaten their wives. So he turned it into a comedic device. So I say all praise to Jackie Gleason for taking that and turning it into something rather benign, because he never laid a hand on Alice. And at the end of every episode, they embraced, and he would lock out the show with the line, "Baby, you're the greatest," and give her a kiss. So in any event, he was a profoundly brilliant performer. He was also a very big, heavy man. I wouldn't say that he was fat in his younger days. He was overweight, but he also was very, very physical. And the thing that made him brilliant is the same thing that made Lucille Ball brilliant. He was a fat man who wasn't afraid to use his body out on a stage. He would move his body, he would dance, he would do all kinds of things. Was not afraid, didn't have any self-conscious. And Lucille Ball, who was a woman who had a lot of physical beauty, wasn't afraid to blacken her teeth and put on a fright wig and look like a clown. That's what makes a great performer, somebody who's essentially fearless in front of a crowd. Anyway, I say all this to say that Jackie Gleason's life is going to be the subject of a movie. Now, I don't know if this is a wise title for this film, To the Moon. And the reason why I say that is because Man in the Moon was the story based on Andy Kaufman, another brilliant, genius comic performer. That film, Man in the Moon, which starred Jim Carrey, didn't do all that great. And I don't know why. Andy Kaufman was not that mainstream a comic, and that could have been it. So many people today don't know who he was or what he did, but he was funny beyond description. This movie is going to be called To the Moon. Now, here's the thing that got our attention about it. I don't know whether you guys didn't know Jackie Gleason's work. Here's the guy that's going to star as Jackie Gleason. And don't get me wrong, I'm a huge fan of this guy. But I don't know if this is the right guy to play him. Nathan Lane. Now, right now, everybody's kind of going, Nathan Lane. Everybody in their mind is trying to see him as Gleason. First of all, he's short. Gleason was 6 feet tall. Secondly, Gleason had a very rugged Irish, he had a handsome face in his younger days when he didn't have all that fat. He actually was a handsome man. I'm not saying Nathan Lane isn't handsome, but Jackie Gleason had a really Irish-looking mug that had the weathering of a lot of drinking and a lot of cigarettes on it. And Nathan Lane has got a kind of a boyish-looking face. There isn't anything about that guy's face that looks like he's been pounding the shots back at Toots Shores, that he's been doing shots and beers over at Tootsies. And then we have the weight issue. Now, Nathan Lane does tend to look heavy, I guess stocky, I don't know what you want to call it. Now, he could probably do that, but he looks small to me. He looks short, and Gleason was a big guy. He was big on stage. I don't know what to think. Anyway, let me read the story to you. Lane to star in Jackie Gleason pick. Nathan Lane will star as Jackie Gleason in To the Moon, a biopic about the jocular thesp, as in thespian. Rob Fetzinger, who wrote In the Bedroom. You know that. You all saw that. He, which is being developed by Mirage Enterprises, the production company run by director Sidney Pollack and Anthony something or other. Gleason, immortalized on The Honeymooners, was discovered on Gotham's nightclub circuit by Jack Warner and starred in several Hollywood pictures and Broadway musicals before making his TV debut. Jackie Gleason has been a huge influence on me since I was a child, Nathan Lane said. The thing that gets to me about him is that despite the bravado of his public persona and the broad hilarity of some of his comedy, there remains a tremendous amount of sadness and vulnerability in his eyes. Hopefully, we will explore that in the film. The multiple Tony Award-winning FESP originally optioned William A. Henry's III's Gleason biography, The Great One, which I recommend that you read, which I have at home, which I'm going to bring in so Chris can read it. It's very good. As a blueprint for the project, but he has since decided to take it in a different direction. Ah, so Nathan Lane optioned this thing himself, so naturally he gets to run the show on this deal. Holy jeez. Oh, no.
Listen, I optioned it. Now, I'm playing it, and here's what I'm going to do with...
Oh, boy. Nathan Lane's a funny guy, man. I mean, I'll give him that. We're not interested in doing a linear biopic with the fat kid in the snow waiting for the father who never comes, Lane said. Though Neil LaBute originally circled the project, development has been a painstaking process, said David Rubin. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. A whole bunch of Hollywood bullcrap. Okay, so Nathan Lane, what do you think about that? I think it kind of sucks. Let me ask you a question. Who do you think played, who do you think did a good biography of somebody that you saw? You know who I thought was very good? Now you're gonna think I'm out of my mind. I thought Hopkins, when he played Nixon, did something really interesting with that. I can't think. Jim Carrey, as much as I like the guy, he's no good as Andy Kaufman. Forget it. He was no good. It's just no good. It wasn't him. John Goodman as Babe Ruth? Was he playing him as a gay? No, I'm kidding. John, who was the other guy that played Babe Ruth? Stephen Lang played Babe Ruth in one of the cable movies. I can't think of, you don't ever think about bios. You ever think of anything that was brilliantly done as a bio? The Doors. Okay, well, how about Val Kilmer as Jim Morrison? Very good, I thought. Very good. Looked like him, talked like him, sang like him. Those were the guys. What'd you say, Janice? He sang. Now I don't know who did the instrumentation, but he sang and sang as Jim Morrison very well. Okay, all right. Even though we're big fans of Gary Oldman as Sid Vicious. Fantastic, fantastic. Okay, so there we got two. We got Val Kilmer as, what the hell was his name? Jim Morrison. And we got Gary Oldman as Sid Vicious. Who else? You mentioned John Goodman as Babe Ruth. So I'm thinking, who else would you get to play Gleason? You need a guy that is, I think you have to get a physical type that's going to be able to play him. I don't think Nathan Lane's the guy that's going to do it. Bill in Miami. Hi, Bill.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Oh, saying that Robert Duvall was very good as Joseph Stalin in the HBO special, and that probably was the one that I think actually hit the character or that person.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah,
I saw Rod Steiger as what's his name, El Duce. That was pretty good.
Yeah, I think maybe the more.
Oh, wait a second. How about George C. Scott as Patton?
Well, that was great.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks.
Who? Stalin? Okay, here's John. John, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello, or Jim? Excuse me.
Hey, Phil.
Yeah.
About George C. Scott.
I just said him as Patton, yeah. Here is John. Hi, John.
Hey there.
Hi.
That Lenny Bruce, Black and White.
Oh, Dustin Hoffman. Very good, yeah. Yeah, that was good.
Absolutely fantastic.
That was terrific. I didn't think that he was as funny as Lenny Bruce was, but then that wasn't what that movie was really about. It was more about the periphery of his comedy, which is fine. Which is fine. Okay, thanks. Okay, that's all the calls we'll take about that. did you think that Dustin Hoffman playing Lenny Bruce was good? He wasn't good as funny, because he wasn't very funny in that movie. Lenny Bruce is a hilariously funny man, a great comic. Dustin Hoffman didn't come anywhere near capturing the comedy, but he didn't have to. What he did capture was that sort of backstage torture, and the torture of his life, and what happened to him when he had his problems with the police. So that was terrific. You know what? Maybe I will take some more calls. Here's Toby. Toby.
Hey Phil.
How are you doing?
Show, man.
Thanks.
Yeah, I just want to let you know. You seen that Ty Cobb movie with Tommy Lee Jones?
I didn't say, man. I heard it sucked, and I have to say I'm always subject to listening to things like that, and I probably should have seen.
Well, you shouldn't. That's an awesome flick, man.
Was it really?
Oh God!
Who's the guy that he opens the movie with? It's a writer, an actor plays.
Oh, I can't remember the name of the guy, but he's in a couple different movies. He was in that stupid show Artless for like a week.
Oh, Robert Wall.
Yeah.
See, Ty Cobb. That was based on a Life magazine article written about Ty Cobb by this writer, and they start the movie with the writer going to his house. And he wrote this article about Ty Cobb. It appeared in the early 60s in Life. Basically, for the first time ever, somebody said Ty Cobb was a piece of crap and was a rude and insane jackass. And this writer wrote the whole story about Ty Cobb. Ty Cobb was a mean bastard. He was a vicious, mean bastard. He was also mentally deranged. He saw his mother shoot his father by mistake when he was a kid, and that just sent him down the road. I mean, this is a guy that sharpened the spikes on his cleats so that when he slid into second base, he not only could knock a guy down, he'd take about 15 pounds of flesh off the guy's leg. This was fun for him. Ty Cobb went up into the stands and beat up a handicapped heckler once. Some guy in a wheelchair was heckling him. Cobb went into the stands and beat his ass. And you know what? When I mentioned that, now maybe he wasn't such a bad guy. That was, you know, come on. You got to give a guy points for that. I don't care if you're in a wheelchair. Boom! I mean, that's a guy, he don't care what anybody thinks. There's a certain admiration you have to have for a man like that. Look, if a guy in a wheelchair thinks he's going to get away with it just because he's in a wheelchair, hey, you're a piece of crap, Cobb! And another thing, oh, wait a minute, he's coming up here. Boom! Yeah, this dude's getting away rolling the wheels. He's trying to find the ramp. There ain't no ramp. It's 1925. So, you know. But the other thing that Cobb did, 20 years after he retired, he was sitting in a banquet, a sports banquet, next to a major league catcher. I don't know the guy's name, but the catcher turns to Cobb, and they're both retired now, and he says, by the way, Ty, I got to tell you remember that play at home you slid in? You said you'd slid in under the tag, and they called you out. He says, yeah. He says, you know what? You did. You had, you know, you slid in under the tag. You were right. I robbed you that day. You know what happened? He belted the guy. 20 years later, he starts a fist fight in the banquet. And this guy has a club foot, and he's also in a wheelchair. Ty Cobb could pound the crap out of more cripples. I'm kidding. Okay, Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.